From Romeo, Michigan, I'm Craig Cole.
From Long Beach, California, I'm Michelle Naranjo.
From Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Jeffrey Ross.
From Knoxville, Tennessee, I'm Zach Bowman.
From Toronto, Canada, I'm Michael Bonofsky.
And I'm producer Ben Sanders, this week in Plymouth, Michigan.
This is Roundabout.
Hello and welcome to Roundabout, Episode 3, our weekly chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the auto news you may have missed.
Every week, we trek across the vast, unexplored wilderness of the internet in search of a cohesive, zen-like theme. We find all kinds of different topics and news bites to fit that theme, however convoluted they may be. And just like a Japanese whaling ship, whatever's out there, we harpoon it and drag it into the discussion anyway, because sea mammal is delicious. I mean, because we want to. So welcome, everyone, to another incredible installment of Roundabout. I hope you're all doing well. Aside from working on a Sunday, I'm pretty okay, but torn. I'm torn. Have you guys seen the new Zune HD yet? I've totally fallen in love with this thing, and I don't know if I should commit to buying one.
It's awful.
I somehow thought you'd say that.
Just don't do it.
And why is it awful?
Microsoft only makes good keyboards and mice, and that's about the only peripherals they can do properly. Because they don't require any software. Yeah, they don't. It doesn't matter. I mean, that's the only thing good that they put their name on. That and the Xbox, of course. But
have you looked at the Zune yet? I mean,
it's like saying, oh, I'm dating a supermodel. Oh, where does she live? Oh, at the top of a mountain. Well, how the hell am I going to get there? Like, it's no sense having something if you can't use it, right? And that's the problem with the Zune. It may look beautiful, but you can't really use it. It's just not an integrated device anymore.
There are plenty of, songs and movies and everything you can get on, the Zune marketplace. I mean, of course, there isn't this vast array of applications like you get with the iPod Touch or the iPhone, but still, I mean, there's stuff there. The experience is gorgeous.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
So, Zach, have you seen the Zune HD yet?
I have not. I'll be the first to admit I'm pretty far behind the whole tech game. I just got a BlackBerry this summer, by the way. Before that, I was using a phone from 1973.
So. Black Bakelite Rotodial.
Yeah, exactly. It had a current panel on the side that you had to wind up first before it knows. But I don't know. I'd be a little apprehensive about jumping in on the Zune thing just because Apple has such a massive stranglehold on, all things mobile and entertaining.
Yeah. So, absolutely. Apple's got a stranglehold on the market, like you said, Zach. I mean, they've got how many? 75,000 applications you can run on the iPhone or the iPod Touch. I mean, the Zune HD could be a bad compromise in that regard. And speaking of bad compromises, we've got a few in the automotive world this week. So, this is officially our bad compromise episode. So, first up today, we've got what could be quite possibly the epitome of an automotive bad compromise. It takes you from 0 to dB in about 20 seconds, or however long it takes for your garage door to open. This story comes from Audi of Canada, and what they're doing is they're offering this sticker, I guess, you can put on your garage door, and it makes it look like you've got an R8 parked in your garage when the door is closed. It's kind of weird, and it only costs $470 Canadian. So I think, Michael, it makes sense to start with you since you're both Canadian, and you despise the R8. What do you think of this? You going to put this on your garage anytime soon?
I would, actually. Because I want people to think that I'm an idiot, and I want people to think that I have something apparently more magnificent than my 1990 Volvo 740 Turbo. So I don't know why they would do this. I could see it on like a kid's bedroom wall or something. I think that's probably where most of these will go. But I don't know how low your self-esteem has to be to like buy a picture, a fake photo of a car you don't own and throw it on your garage door. It's just ridiculous.
That's the first thing I thought when I saw it. You know, at first, I was like, okay, big decal. That's kind of cool. $470. Okay, the people who would actually put this on their garage door don't have $470 to do it with.
Well, it is Canadian, to be fair.
All right, that's like, what, $3 American?
No, well, what is it now? About probably $450 American, really.
Yeah, we're almost at par. It's like a teenage girl stuffing her bra, right? Like, it's just shit you don't got.
It's an automotive cod piece, really, yeah. Which could be a new segment for us. Anyway.
I just wonder how it's going to look in real life. The pictures they show on Audi makes it look like it's really there, but my guess is the execution's not going to be that high maintenance or high definition as it is in the picture.
Yeah, and where are the cut lines for the segments in the door? You can't see those at all.
As long as you have a driveway that's at least half a mile long, it'll look like you have an R8 in your garage. Otherwise, not so much.
Michelle, what do you think of this thing?
In theory, it's a good idea. I mean, Porsche did this in the 70s and the 80s where kids could send in their name and Porsche would send them back a small size poster they could put on their bedroom wall that would have their name on the license plate and it would be a Porsche doing some, you know, great feat. And I think that, you know, virally, that was really good for kids. It raised young enthusiasts. I know guys that are Porsche owners now that had those posters when they were kids. But this is for, like, this is for grown-ups, which is kind of funny. I sort of want to see it like one of those football things where the guys come running out, but what car would burst through this, you know, out of the garage?
A Geo Metro.
Exactly.
I think in A3 TDI. I think that's about right. But, like, Michelle, you have the V6 Mustang in your driveway. Would you buy one of these if it was, like, a bullet Mustang or a V8 or something?
No. No.
I mean, that's the thing. This is permanent on the exterior of your house, you know? I mean, it's not like you're hanging a poster in your office or something. This just screams to the whole world, I'm a fucking moron.
And doesn't it invite, well, vandalism for one, and two, like, theft? I mean, if somebody sees your R8, and I'm making quotes right now, from the end of your half-mile-long driveway, wouldn't that signal to them that, hey, maybe that house is good to break into?
Until they pop the door and there's a 98 Camry back there.
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder if it's like Looney Tunes where people would go running up to the garage door and just smack their faces against the door itself, right? Because they'd think that the garage was open.
If that were the case, I would buy one just for the sheer hilarity of it.
And set a video camera up to watch people act like morons.
A webcam, yeah. Well, the good news is, Zach, if you wanted one, they offer three sizes for three different garage doors. So,
all right.
I mean, hey, you could place your order now and have it whenever.
You know, actually, I'm thinking about it again. It would make my garage look like it's clean.
Can we get those just without the R8, just with a clean look?
Exactly.
Oh, man. So anyway, our next story deals with another leather-lined six-figure bad compromise, and it's a rumored electric version of the Rolls-Royce Phantom, which is a very expensive car, in case you don't know. Last week, we talked about the Audi e-tron concept that debuted at Frankfurt. And now, like I said, Autoblog is carrying this Rolls-Royce story. What's the car cost? Does anybody know? It's got to be like $350,000.
Yeah, I think about that.
And they're electrifying it. Why? Are buyers trying to save money or something? Michelle, what do you think of this?
Oh, wow. I can't even imagine what a Rolls-Royce owner, it doesn't look like it looks like just like a Rolls-Royce, right? And part of the thing of having something electric is people want something that looks like it's electric, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I can't see this really appealing to the typical Rolls-Royce owner.
I know.
At all.
And I mean, is Dell going to have to stop producing laptops for like 2 years to get enough lithium batteries to power this thing? I mean, it's gigantic. It's like docking the Queen Mary.
I quite like the idea of this car because Rolls-Royces have always been about the quiet serenity of the back seat. And with an electric motor, you have nothing but quiet serenity. And I don't really think the owners care necessarily about the cost savings or any cost savings or if people think that they're green or not. Because mm-hmm. if you have a large yacht, you could just drive onto the back of your yacht and with your Rolls-Royce and park your car, cruise on down to a different port in France and drive your Rolls off, go for dinner, drive your car back on the back of your yacht. I mean, people do this all the time. It would just be like the world's biggest tender.
Mm-hmm. But the thing that I'm kind of perplexed about, like, it really doesn't – it's the Rolls-Royce look, but it doesn't portray any electric carness, like Michelle was saying. So there really isn't – you know, people aren't going to be able to look at this thing and be like, oh, there's an electric Rolls-Royce. They're just going to mm-hmm. be like, hey, look at this rich guy in a Rolls-Royce.
That's true.
But can you imagine, though, if they put the big hybrid sticker on it? Like
a Cadillac?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
No credibility. No credibility.
And what would they call it? Like the flying lightning or something? Or
the lightning bolt. The phantom lightning bolt. I don't know.
The Trabant NT.
Stodgy English name. Have you guys actually driven the Phantom before?
No.
Rolls-Royce knows better than let me know that car.
Because I actually have. Don't Whoa. Need to toot my own horn here, but wow. I know, I'm kind of a big deal. What can I say?
And what was it like? Did they make you wear like a little cabbie hat, you know?
I just had to put on an all-white one-piece like jumpsuit and, you know, make sure my fingernails were clean. No, I'm a member of MAMA. It's the Midwest Automotive Media Association. And every year they do a spring rally. It's called the Spring Rally. It's a big event they have up at Road America, which is a racetrack in Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin, is where it's located at. And they have a bunch of OEMs that bring in cars, like, you know, 80 or 100 cars every year. And basically you get to drive them on the track, drive them on the street. And one of the special cars they had was the Phantom. And that was T-Suite driving that thing. I mean, there's so much wood trim inside. It's like you're sitting in a tree. I mean, just acres of wood everywhere, burled, whatever it is, something endangered. And it doesn't have a tachometer like every other car. It has a power reserve gauge that lets you know how much oomph you've got left. So
I think it'd be great for an economy car. You've got your 70 horsepower.
Your diesel VW whatever.
Exactly. And there's just never any power left. It's just like zero all the time.
Needle's broken laying at the bottom.
So, yeah. Do you guys think that this is a new trend? I mean, obviously the industry is moving towards electrified vehicles. I would expect to see them starting at the low end of the market with affordable cars. But with the Audi e-tron and now with this electrified Rolls-Royce Phantom, are we going to see more and more high-dollar cars going electric and then that trickling down as we start to figure out the technology more and more? I mean, what do you think, Jeff?
Well, if you think about it, the higher-end cars like Porsche and Rolls-Royce, those are the ones that are having to pay the penalties for poor fuel economy in the first place, like through CAFE and stuff. So, yeah, I could see them trying to come up with electric cars to increase their fleet's fuel economy overall. I mean, it kind of makes sense in that regard.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Zach? Anything? Any thoughts on that?
To me, it makes perfect sense. I mean, anytime a new tech comes out, it always starts off at the upper end, you know. When cars first came out, they were, you know, exclusive items only for the fabulously wealthy. And eventually they became more popular. The same thing with, you know, now with fuel injection, you know. So, I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me for the more high-class manufacturers to roll out stuff like this. And eventually, once the tech gets a little more ironed out and a little more inexpensive, it'll, you know, work its way into your Focus.
Yeah. We'll have to wait and see. So anyway, moving right along, moving from a vehicle that almost none of us will drive, except me, to one that's reasonably attainable by the average Joe, we find what could be another automotive bad compromise. Autoblog brings us this story. Apparently, the next generation Chevy Corvette, which will be the C7, is going to have a split rear window, just like the 1963 version of the car. And what they do is basically the back window is in two pieces, and there's like a little divider that runs up that divides the two panels of glass. I mean, it's a retro look. They had it on, like I said, the 63 version of the car. And this could be a bad compromise because it's giving you that retro look. But what are you going to be able to see out of your rearview mirror? You know, you're going to have this chunk of steel running down there.
Well, that's why they got rid of it. You know, nobody could see out the ass end of the car. So They just cut that little piece out and, you know, dropped it in the pool.
But it's a Corvette. I mean, you're not supposed to see out the back of it.
Hey-o. I see what you did there.
I mean, well, that was the whole point.
In 63, you didn't have passenger side mirrors on the side, right? And you didn't have the opportunity to have backup cameras and all that stuff, you know. Like, technology-wise, they could do it. It could be a lot safer.
Mm-hmm. I want a no-window C7 Corvette.
Like a stealth fighter.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
A blatant screw you to the rest of the highway traffic.
No, I'm sorry, officer. I didn't see you behind me. I don't have a window.
You know, depending on how this thing looks, it could be a good step forward for GM because, I mean, in the 60s, the American cars were very much styling icons. They did crazy things. You know, they pushed the envelope because they could. And then, I mean, now the Corvette is just sort of like a fiberglass. I don't know what it is. I don't know if they make the Hot Wheels version first and then scale it up. But it's just like, it's just sort of, you know, 20 feet of car. Like, it's just 20 feet of sports car. There's no really real defining feature on it. Four rear lights, the circle things. They're ovals or circles. I don't know. They're ovular circles, I guess.
Ovulation. What?
Can I get a what?
See, I actually think the current Corvette is the best it's ever been. You know, maybe except for the C2, but when they came out with the C6, I really liked it.
I mean, even the stock, the standard version of the car, not the Z06, not the Z01, that thing is scary fast. You know, it's got 430 horsepower, and that doesn't sound like a whole lot, you know, on paper nowadays. But
that car
thing
weighs nothing, you know?
Exactly. It's terrifying. It's like riding on an explosion, like Krakatoa going off, and you're just thrust along.
That was really the first car that, you know, driving along for the first couple of days, and I'm thinking, if I absolutely had to run from the law, this would be the car to do it. Because you're cruising along at whatever speed, and the speedometer just goes on for miles, and you know the car's good for it. You know, it's not like your fucking Honda where, you know, it says 130, but it'll
you're never
explode
gonna get
before you get there, right? Yeah, it's a special car.
I couldn't imagine how fast the ZR1 would be. That's just terrifying. I mean,
yeah.
I'm
pretty excited to get my hands on the Grand Sport that's coming out. I had the opportunity to drive the Z51 package last year, which was sort of like what the Grand Sport will be. You know, it's the same base motor, only you get a refined different suspension. The Z06 brakes and special gears in the transmission, special gearing ratios, and it was super quick. So supposedly they've ironed it out even more for the Grand Sport, and that to me it seems like that's the Corvette to have. I mean, it's a steal.
Yeah,
I'd love the exhaust note on the Z51 when you got into it really hard.
That sucker opened up. Holy Lord!
Yeah.
Does the Z51 have a different exhaust than the standard Corvette? Because I know the standard one has like this active exhaust system. It's got like butterfly valves in there that block off half of the exhaust to keep it quieter, but then when you get on it they open up so that you get
that's on the Z51, but that's optional on all Corvettes.
Okay.
But I think it's like a standard package, maybe with the Grand Sport.
You know, I just have a question before we move on. What would you guys think if the next Corvette looked like this concept that they revealed in the winter? The one that was in the Transformers movie.
But it won't. Because that was apparently done before the Corvette or before the Camaro.
Really?
Like, styled and everything. Yeah. If you guys read the Jalopnik article on it. Hmm. I'm like tisking. I'm tisking from Canada.
Tiskmaster.
Yeah, it's your freaking sports car. You guys should know everything about it.
I'm surprised you guys don't build it.
Hey, Canadian quality workers over here.
Well, you guys have that fancy national health care. Saves money.
Heck yes.
You can build our minivans too while you're at it.
Well, we build Chrysler's minivans for a while.
Absolutely.
Well,
anyway,
that.
Yeah. I guess that's a no, Ben. We wouldn't want to see that.
I decided for everyone.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, it's not the best looking Corvette I've ever seen.
I think it looks pretty ugly. So I just wondered if there were other people out there who were like, wow, this thing is stunning. But I think it looks pretty horrendous myself.
Well, next up, we have another performance car bad compromise. The Ford Mustang has always been, you know, a blue-collar sports car that, you know, just about anyone can afford. But in this case, what boils down to the quintessential American pony car is a big, fat, bad compromise. It's the Iacocca Edition 45th Anniversary Mustang. And what's there to say about it? I mean, you get a fancy body kit. You get some different bumpers, it looks like. They kind of make it a fastback. And then they charge you $90,000.
And the cup holders are big enough. Oh. And the cup holders are big enough for cans of Ensure. And the seats are channeled for your Depends. I mean, why would you model a car and then give it the evocative name of Iacocca? Because Lee Iacocca is...
It just rolls off the tongue.
But he's older than death. I mean, make it like the Iacocca Junior Mustang, and maybe that would have some sort of appeal.
Yeah, I could see if Chrysler did something like this, you know, trying to rejuvenate themselves by bringing Iacocca's name back into it, but I don't see why...
Like a K-car?
I mean, anything, but, you know, Iacocca helps revive them. I could see them doing something like this on anything, even a Challenger. But
well, they used to have him in those Chrysler. They were the 300 commercials when the 300 had just come out. They had Snoop Dogg?
Snoop Dogg, yeah. And
they were out on the golf course or something. Ridiculous. No, but anyway.
The really funny part about this car is it's based on the 09, not the 2010 that just came out. So it's not the better, you know, chassis and suspension and transmission and all that. It's just the same crap left over from 09.
Absolutely. And it's $90,000.
Yeah,
come on now.
Put that in perspective. You can buy. You could theoretically, if you could get a GT500 at MSRP, you could nearly buy two 2010 GT500s with 100 extra horsepower. Just putting it there.
And much better looking.
Yes. Yeah.
Michelle, what do you think about this thing? It's got an eye-catching silver color to it and a serifed font in the Iacocca name. You don't see that very often, but. What do you make of this thing? Would you trade your Mustang in for the Iacocca edition?
I would trade our Mustang in for almost anything. but probably not this one. No, it's a big body kit to me. And although I loved when they restyled the body, 04-05, it's just getting ridiculously large to me.
So. Really? Because, I mean, the Challenger is gigantic, but the Mustang seems pretty handy size to me, at least. You think it's too big, though?
I think it's, well, it's too big with not a lot of what I would call usable space. I mean, it's not really that functional.
That's what she said. I'm sorry, I had to.
And we take
like
a turn
seats.
For the
seats are nice with the little pleats in there and all that.
Looks like the Gaddafi interior.
It does.
Back to our buddy Momar. Does it have Berber carpeting, though?
Exactly. No, we don't want.
Oh, man.
But so, you know, they're going to sell all these. You know, I mean, they're going to be collector's cars, and someone out there is going to snap these suckers up.
Because, yeah, they're only building 45 of them for the 45th anniversary of the Mustang.
And then they'll show up at car auctions in 5 years for triple the price.
Yeah, yeah. And just, you know, just in case some of our listeners are don't know what we're talking about, Lee Iacocca is obviously well-known for saving Chrysler in the 80s. But before that, he was actually the division president of Ford. And he is like the father of the Mustang, basically. He helped bring that out, bring that to the market. So that's why they're, you know, building this car to honor him, basically.
Maybe they'll do a janitor. Oh, sorry. Maybe they'll do a janitor edition or something. No. Jesse Perkins was the janitor when the first Mustang came out. Now see his special edition. I mean, they have enough.
As a built-in editions. Mop handle holder or something.
Right? It'll just be a rebodied Mustang too.
They reach back further and further for every
right.
special edition. Fox body. So anyway, our next story, we've got another blue oval bad compromise, and it deals with the company's little, the compact, I like to call it their vanlet, the Transit Connect. Ford just started importing this little versatile little schlepper to the U.S., but it had to do some finagling to get it here because they had to sidestep some American trade laws that are in place that have been up for a long time. Apparently, now this article is on Autoblog, apparently back in the 60s, West Germany put some tariffs on American-grown chicken. I'm not sure why. But President Johnson fought back by putting high tariffs on imported trucks and commercial vehicles. So that's basically why you can't import a truck to the U.S., essentially, without paying however much, you know, whatever the astronomical fee would be to get it in here. So basically, to sidestep that law, because the Transit Connect really is a truck, what Ford did was they build them in Kocaeli, Turkey, as a passenger vehicle. Then they ship them over here, where they take out the back seats, basically, take out the windows, and put in some side, you know, solid metal side panels where the windows used to be, and now they market it as a truck. But they did, quote, final assembly in the U.S., so they can get around that law. Whether or not you think it's ridiculous, I don't know. So, the Transit Connect. What do you guys think of this finagling? I know there are stories of, like, Nissan or Toyota bringing trucks over here and then, like, attaching the bed to the truck. And then, oh, it's final assembly, you know, in the U.S. And, in fact, I think they did that in California. Michelle, what do you think of this?
Well, I'm a big fan of the Transit Connect, and I think the you can argue different sides of it being protectionism or, you know, anti-free trade or any of that stuff. I wish that they could bring it in as its original version because it's very cool. I wouldn't be surprised, though. The article kind of says something about how they're shredding the seats and they're putting them in the landfills. But, I mean, I'm sure they're going to try to – there'll be backlash and they're going to try to do something like they'll put in a wooden bench in the back.
Hey, Michelle.
Michelle, we're getting a bit of a cyborg.
Yeah, we're getting your weekly Cylon experience. If you could unplug
Am I again?
Unplug and plug back in.
Yeah. Back in. Yeah. One of the minor difficulties with the internet.
Am I back?
You're back.
You're back.
Tell your daughter to stop downloading vampire movies.
She's
Is
gone
she a
beyond.
Vampire fan?
No, she's gone beyond vampire. She's anti-Twilight now.
All right, congratulations.
What is anti-Twilight? I'm confused.
You see, let me explain for you guys. Craig knows nothing about popular culture.
He does not.
So he has no idea what Twilight is.
I can tell you the general that surrendered at the Battle of Stalingrad, but I can't tell you what vampires are.
Twilight
or Craig, what a Cylon is
a popular movie for the teenage set.
Uh-huh.
About the Transit Connect, you guys know that you can order it with seats in the back.
Yeah, but I think what they do is they ship it to the U.S. as a wagon. And then they strip out the interior to make it a work vehicle, which is then considered a truck. I think
you can buy it as a wagon. With windows
right,
still
it's an
there.
Upgrade. Then they put the stuff back in it.
Yeah. Which I really, that I wonder why they shred everything if they're just going to put it back in.
But maybe they don't shred it. Maybe they just unbolt it and then rebolt it back in. I don't know. Like, what do they have to do? Walk
sense.
The bench seat around the car and go, okay, it was out. Now it's in.
Like, they could.
See,
I wouldn't put it past them. I mean, what's more American than gaming the system? Come on.
Well, yeah, unfortunately, it's true. There's car manufacturers in Texas that actually manufacture outside of San Antonio, and they put the cars on transport trucks, take them to the Port of Houston and get them stamped as Port of Houston to get around taxes. But I think they're coming into, like, most of the parts are coming from Mexico to San Antonio to put them together. It's like some weird thing where, you know, these companies are always trying to figure out ways to not have to pay tariffs and taxes and all that stuff.
Yep. Yep.
Well, it's the same thing that the Dodge Sprinter did. They built it in Germany or something like that, and then they put final assembly in South Carolina, and then it was legal to sell, I guess.
Yep. This sounds like a pretty archaic law, though. I mean,
see, I'm wondering why, you know, the manufacturers just haven't bought themselves a congressman and got the law taken care of.
It might be easier to do this. Who knows?
If Ford was owned by the government, they wouldn't have this problem. They would have just had it fixed.
That's true.
Yeah. So, well, I think this is a good place to take a short break, you know, and hear a few words from one of our generous, generous sponsors. After that, we'll get into our blind spot story of the week, and then a brand new segment headed up by our very own Michelle Naranjo.
Earl Snaggins here for another fine Grampy Boykins product, Confederated Fuels and Bait Show. Hoity-toity gas stations got you singing the blues? People with clean fingernails and matching socks thinking they better than you? Well, visit Pappy Boykins Confederated Fuels, where I assure you, you'll never pay extra for fanciness. It's barely what you need and nothing more. This is Merle Snaggins. Go on now, get yourself some.
Thank you, Merle Snaggins. Visit one. Oh, I'm sorry. Time for the outro. Visit one of Grandpa Perkins' four convenient locations in the tri-state area for an old-fashioned fuel experience. Other gas stations have all kinds of fancy equipment to pay for, like pumps, and they pass that cost on to you. But never at Grandpa Perkins' Confederated Fuels. Stop on by today, and one of his shady business associates will hand ladle fuel into your tank, just like old times. It's full service without being full of themselves. Only at Grandpa Perkins' Confederated Fuels. Now, normally this is the part where I tell you to go to their website and enter a promotional code for a discount. But unfortunately, Grandpa Perkins doesn't have a website. You see, he doesn't want the government interfering with his personal business. So there you go, Grandpa Perkins, conspiracy theorist. Anyway, back on task, it's now time for our blind spot story of the week. When news topics go unnoticed, are underreported, or otherwise fall off the radar, they land in our blind spot. Today's story of the week is all about an American institution, and that's the Golden Arches. According to an article on Jalopnik, in the lower 48 states, you are never more than a 145-mile, that's 234 kilometers, Michael, you're never more than a 145-mile drive from a McDonald's, and thank God for that. The area that you're furthest away from a Mickey D's is in northwest South Dakota. It's specifically between Meadow, the town of Meadow, and the town of Glad Valley. It's more like Sad Valley, if you ask me, because if you have a Big Mac attack, you are screwed. So, McDonald's is the theme of this article here. And apparently there are 13,000 plus Mickey D's in the country. Holy crap, I never knew. If you look at the map, it's like covered in little orange dots. And that...
It's like the photo they took of Earth from space at night, with all the lights lit up.
Exactly.
Only the lights from McDonald's.
Yep. With more lights, oddly enough.
I haven't had fast food for like 10 years, at least. I don't think I've had McDonald's since I was maybe 12. Yeah, 12 or so. So I've been going, you know, it's possible for life after McDonald's. It's not easy, let me tell you, but it's possible.
I haven't set foot in a fast food restaurant in, God, at least 5 years. You've got me beat, Michael, but I've been going down that same road.
This segment is not brought to you by McDonald's.
It's brought to you by Burger King.
Yeah, this is, it's kind of scary seeing how many McDonald's there are. It's, you know, you drive around and you see them all over the place, but this picture really.
Mm-hmm. A lot of jobs.
Yeah.
A lot of low paying jobs.
Yeah, a lot of fat people, too.
There's a McDonald's right up the road from the house, and it's got one of those big LED signs on it. And every time I drive by, it says 50 chicken nuggets for $10.
50?
50.
As in half of 100.
So you could have 100 chicken nuggets for $20.
You could have a chicken McNugget fight if you wanted.
And it tips me every time. I don't know how long I can keep up my strength to resist this stuff. But I mean, that's a deal. I mean, that's not just, you know, preying on your weakness for chicken nuggets. That's a deal.
They should have a promotion, though. It's like, give a man 50 chicken nuggets for $10, and he'll eat for a few meals. Give him a whole fried chicken. He'll eat for 3 meals. Because America's... Yeah, exactly. Like America's what, obese? Is that fair to say?
Are we? I haven't heard before.
No.
Or I haven't been to a Walmart lately and seen.
Big bone.
The whole country is sinking under the weight of saturated fat.
It's physically pushing the land down, right?
Fat doesn't sink, sir. Thank you very much. My wife and I were looking around at furniture yesterday, and I was amazed at just how huge, like, the couches and Lazy Boys are. Like, you sit in these suckers, and, like, a standard Lazy Boy, I could fit, like, me and three other guys my size in these chairs. And I'm like, who is this designed for? The loyal McDonald's customer, that's who.
Exactly. Well, you go to the airport, you know, they'll have their phalanx of wheelchairs by the door. And you'll see, like, you know, 3/4 of them will be regular. And then you've got, like, this gang of extra double-wide chairs. It's like, oh, my goodness.
If you need to sit in that, semi to pull it along.
What's that?
With its own semi-tractor to pull it along.
They get one of those airplane tugs.
That's right. Just pull it into the concourse.
Oh, my goodness.
See, I think that's the direction Buick should go in. Because, you know, probably the best-selling armchair in America is the Lazy Boy. And to call something lazy and have people still buy it, it's amazing. So they need to do, like, the Lazy Lacrosse, right?
The Lazy Edition?
The Lazy Edition. So you just sort of, like, it's got Lazy Boy, you know, designed chairs that are really, really wide. Maybe just a love seat in the front two seats.
A bench seat. How about that?
Yeah, with reclining and then, you know, the popcorn holder in the middle.
And the vibrating feature and the heater. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and then it comes with slippers.
Oh.
They're little tigers, you know, for Tiger Woods.
Mm. Well, he used to be the sponsor, right? I mean, didn't they pull him, I think? I don't know.
They couldn't afford him anymore.
Yeah, that's too bad for Buick. Michelle, what do you make of this, looking at the map? I mean...
It's really scary, isn't it? And I, you know, in Long Beach, which is still in LA County, so you kind of may not imagine this, but we do sort of call it Idaho by the Sea. Our downtown is anchored by a Walmart, and we have 3 McDonald's downtown. And I'm not kidding. There are teams of obese people on hover hounds that race each other down the sidewalks.
Hover hound must be a regional term. I've never heard it. Can you explain what that means?
Those are the little motorized carts that, you know, they ride around, and like some people actually own them here. They don't just go to Walmart to use them.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Oh, you said hover round.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you said hover hound. I'm like, what? Is that
that's the gang. The gang of old people. The hover hounds.
The hover. Like hover a motorcycle hounds. Gang.
It's like a motorcycle. Jackets.
That should be next week's sponsor.
Oh my goodness. I could just imagine they have leather jackets on. They're like a motorcycle gang, the hover hounds.
And they're all on their scooters.
And they all drive to the Grand Canyon, just like in the commercial.
Yeah. We'll work hard to get you a scooter at no cost to you.
I wonder where they're gonna put a scooter lane in the McDonald's next.
That's when it's time to move to another country. I mean, at that point, it's just get out. Well, I think that's enough of that story. I've made myself sad now. So we should move on to something that's a little bit lighter, a little bit happier, and take a look at what we've had in the garage this week. All right, guys, what have we got? What have we had in the garage this week? Michael, you said you've been in a Toyota Camry V6. And then Jeff, you said you were in a Dodge Avenger, correct?
That is correct.
Wow, you guys are really slumming it this week.
The best thing about the Camry is that Toyota, you know, they put the little tags on the keys. And this tag says the color is brown.
That's it.
but it's actually beige.
It's desert sand mica, right?
Yeah, I don't know what's better, if it was just brown or beige. It's not necessarily a bad car. I think I'm doing 8.8 or 8.7 liters per 100 kilometers. I wish I could tell you what that is.
What's that in real numbers? Come on.
Well, it's a real number because you're actually, you know, fuel and distance. It's good.
Oh,
but
it's fabricated for you.
But yeah, it's okay. I mean, I just sort of feel like I'm close to death, to be honest. I totally understand.
They really found a cure for insomnia with the Camry, you know? I mean, it's just so boring.
It's weird, though, because I imagine it was exactly how American cars were in the 60s and 70s, like just big and floaty. And so that's 27 miles per gallon U.S., for the V6?
V6, yeah, good. Absolutely.
And I'm certainly not hypermiling. I had some terminal understeer. And
well, you're probably scraping the rim along the ground. The tires rolled over so far.
Yeah, I think it's got like 13-inch rims on it or something. It's weird. It's strange for being the XLE, I think. Mm-hmm. But I think there's 17s on it or 16s. And it's so weird to see a top trim level with anything less than like 27-inch wheels on it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But if the car has any redeeming qualities to it, it has to be the engine. I love that V6. It's their, what is it, the 2GRFE, I think is what they call it internally. And it's just really smooth. It's powerful. It even sounds good, I think.
Yeah, it'll make the axles hop off of a wet intersection quite severely, actually.
Yeah. That's pretty bad. Jeff, have you driven this car before recently, ever?
No, I haven't.
Well, you're not missing anything then.
It doesn't look like it. I've driven the Venza, which I guess is the Camry wagon. And that wasn't the most entertaining vehicle to drive, so I could imagine the sedan version isn't going to be anything better.
What about you, Michelle? Have you been in a Camry lately?
I haven't been in a Camry lately, but I was next to one on the freeway the other day in my Z3, and I was actually surprised at how much bigger it was now. It seems big.
Mm-hmm. It's a pretty good-sized car. I mean,
yeah.
It's no Honda Fit.
It's funny how the Japanese mid-size, quote-unquote, have grown to these mammoth proportions now. I mean, like, the mid-size, full-size category is almost, you know, just one and the same at this point.
Yeah. I mean, like, the classic example is the Accord. That thing
exactly.
That thing went to McDonald's one too many times and just ballooned.
Too many chicken McNuggets. Yeah.
Exactly. The what is it, 50 for 20?
Exactly.
Taking
50 for 10. 50 for 10, sir.
Oh, an even better deal. Oof. But I mean,
now he's tempted. Gonna see Craig in Knoxville anytime.
Let me just pull that up on MapQuest and see how far the drive is. Oh, okay. But I mean, okay. The Camry is boring. We know that, but it's a solid car. You can't really knock it. You know, it's reliable. It's gonna last a long time. It's comfortable. Whatever. The other car we're going to talk about here, maybe not so much. And Jeff, you've been driving it. It's the Dodge Avenger.
Yes.
What's your take on this thing?
Well, first of all, I think that my fleet company rented it from Enterprise and sent it up to me at the last minute.
But is the trim level that low?
Yeah, it's just all plastic. Like, it's it's ridiculous. All the reviews that I've read up to this point, I'm like, the car can't be that bad, and I'm starting to think they might be true.
But wait, it can.
But like Michael was saying about the Camry colored brown, the favorite thing about the Avenger for me is that on the Maroni sticker, it says it's the official passenger car of NASCAR.
Oh, that's all I can say is, oh.
It's like saying you're the official dumpster of a stadium, you know?
Waste Management is the official dumpster of NASCAR.
But it's even more ironic when you're not that good of a dumpster.
Yeah, you leak all over the ground, and the raccoons get in, make a mess. Have you driven the Avenger, Michelle, recently?
No, I haven't.
Well, I guess you're not missing anything. I haven't either, so.
Do those cars still have a massive blind spot? Like, the last time I was in one of those, I was amazed at the size of the blind spot that thing had to be such a small car.
Well, yeah, it's because they have that weird charger-like kink in the rear window.
That's called styling, sir.
Is that what they're calling it?
It's elegance, actually.
It looks good on the Charger, and it looks good from the outside, but inside, there's just a huge piece of plastic on the back doors, and it does impede visibility quite a bit.
Yeah. I drove the Avenger.
What'd you think of it?
You know, I'm a firm believer that as an automotive reviewer, you should test drive cars that people actually buy. And unfortunately, people actually buy the Avenger. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think if I could find a girl deaf and blind enough to be with me and she needed a car, I would actually think about the Avenger if she was a really awful driver, because it's not something you'd ever really feel bad for if she wrecked it or whatever.
But I mean, the thing is, there are so many other better inexpensive vehicles out there. I mean, Kia and Hyundai both specialize in inexpensive cars with fantastic warranties that probably won't fall apart until the warranty is over.
But those are too nice.
Those are too nice. You must really hate this potential girl. That's all I can say.
Well, if she hates being out, then she'll just want to come back home. And that's how you have to do it. Yeah.
All right, guys, I think that's enough dumping on Dodge and the Camry for now. Let's talk about this week's auto gadget. All right, and just when you think you've seen it all, from the company that brought you Osimo the robot and that bizarre walking assist device, Honda is coming out with another thing, weird mobility device that could quite possibly be another bad compromise. At the Tokyo Motor Show next month, they're going to unveil a mobility unicycle that they're calling the U3X. And Zach, you've seen this. I'm at a loss for words.
Yeah, you know, I guess they're hoping that people use it in like airports and offices and things like that. I didn't realize walking was that big of a pain in the ass. We've been doing it since we were, like, what, 2 years old or so, you know?
Well, It looks like sitting on this could actually be a pain in the ass, you know? The way those legs fold out.
No one looks comfortable on this thing. You know, it sort of like looks like they're being violated as they're sitting on it.
What was that South Park episode?
Oh, it was the It, Mr. Garrison. Yeah. Oh, you know, that's a pretty good analogy, Jeff.
This doesn't even look like it promotes good posture.
I thought that too.
Like, it looks like it's a pain to try and sit up straight like that.
There was one thing I kept thinking as I was watching this, because it's got those little, like, butt cups that, like, cup each cheek nicely. You know, they fold out from
caress,
the side.
Ben, they caress your cheeks.
And in order to ride the thing, I'm watching it on the video, the live show right now, and you've got to hang on to the butt cups. And so I keep thinking of that famous Samuel Jackson line from Jurassic Park.
Hold on to your butt.
Because you got to scoot around the hall. Can you imagine doing that? You're scooting around the office, just holding on to your butt the whole time, hoping you're not going to fall off this thing.
Well, what is the point of it? If you're, it's not going to help like a handicapped person because you literally like have to be walking to get on it, you know? Why? It only has an hour's worth of battery life. It doesn't make
though?
Sense to me.
It does make sense. I think it's the Honda sex toy. Because if they made it pink and feathered, think about it. I mean, it's probably a different sort of sensation, I would imagine. The battery only lasts for an hour, but as we all know, that's fairly optimistic in the best of times. And you know what, though? Like, I think people have been yearning for something really high-tech to bring into the bedroom.
I don't know. Well, yeah, it can move, you know, in multiple directions. If you look at the wheel, they've actually designed it so that the main wheel that drives the thing is comprised of a bunch of smaller wheels, so it can move in four different directions and, like, diagonally as well. So, yeah, that's handy for getting around the, you know, in the bedroom, I would think. Gives you that range of motion, you know.
I look at this thing, and it looks like a broken arm or a concussion waiting to happen. It looks like if I approached it, I would come away, you know, bandaged or broken.
This looks
Michelle,
like something that.
Oh, go ahead, Jeff.
Someone in Knoxville might want to use to not walk to their McDonald's.
maybe.
So they're gonna have a Honda U3X line instead of that'll be a lot more convenient than the hover round lane in the McDonald's.
Yeah, well, it could be a little bit narrower.
That's right.
You know, because the hover round is a bigger vehicle, and you know, this is just like it's as wide as you are.
I think what would really sell this device is if they had a basket that came out of the front and you could just load your chicken nuggets right into that.
And you know what else it needs, Ben?
They'd shovel it in.
Oh, no, just take the thing. Just take that wire basket right out of the fryer and then place it on the front of the E3X.
You bring it back next time to reuse it.
You can get all those little crispy bits that get stuck in there. In the fryer. You know what else it needs, Ben? It needs tassels. So when you're, you know, driving in the wind, they flutter around.
And a little bell. Ring, ring. The thing is, you wouldn't have a free hand to ring it because your hands are cupping.
You're holding
up
for dear life.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, is Honda really, I'm sorry, is Honda really this bored? I mean, do they have nothing else to do with their time?
Well, they've built all the jets and robots they could afford to build, and I think they're just doing this now.
Something about that. Weird unicycles, awesome. Sorry. Michelle.
You know, Zach, I asked the same question. Why? Why the hell are they doing this? What purpose does it serve? I mean, it's kind of cool to look at, but I can't see myself ever using one. I don't get it.
You know, the answer people always give whenever Honda builds something weird is, well, they call it Honda Motor Company for a reason, but that's not the only company with motor in its name. That's what always gets me. It's also Ford Motor Company and General Motors. But people always say that for Honda. Well, they call it Honda Motor Company.
That's true.
I'm watching the video right now, and how fun would it be just to throw like a broom or something in front of these people?
Hell, you'd probably use a pencil and like trip them.
I think you see the beginnings of a new office game where you've got legions of these people going down the hall and your goal is to take a mop or a broom and get it through the hole as they go by. Because, you know, they take out their butt cups and there's that nice little hole they're sitting on.
It's an orifice, Ben.
Orifice, sorry.
Yes. It's the storage orifice. The storifice. You can put hook stuff in there, I guess. Dry cleaning. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, Michelle, we haven't heard from you on this.
It looks like something that Cirque du Soleil is probably going to order a few. It's, you know, Circus of the Future.
How much is it going to cost? I want to know. I mean,
your dignity.
Other than that,
it's like, how many disabled elderly unicyclists are there in the world that they need to build this for them? Apparently none. It's
apparently none. That's a large area of white space. You know, they got to fill it, so they build a retarded unicycle.
Untapped market share right there.
Now, the only place I've ever seen Segways in real use have been, like, police officers in California. You think we'll be seeing
at
those?
At the airport, right?
Well,
aren't they at the airport?
I haven't seen them at the airport. I've seen them through, you know, more shishi towns in California, scooting around on these things.
Our local mall has a Segway cup. And talk about just, like, stripping him of all of his authority right there. Like, you could be carrying a sawed-off shotgun, and if you're riding around on a freaking Segway, I'm not going to take you seriously.
He could even be carrying around an M16, right?
That's an AR-15.
AR-15.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I screwed that joke up. Damn it. I have early Alzheimer's, I guess. Can't remember things.
Wow, let's just find every person to offend today. How about that?
I know. Are we missing anyone?
Are there any groups that are not offended by the show yet?
Don't worry, take a number, we'll get to you.
Next segment we'll do that, I think.
Oh, if you're a minority you would like Roundabout to offend, please write us at roundaboutshow.com.
Send that out on Twitter, guys, all right? See if we get any responses to that. So I'd like to know who we're leaving out, you know? We're an equal opportunity offender, and I think it'd be good to do. Anyway, next up, we've got a brand new segment. We've never done it before, and it's called Psychology.
So you're telling me that you feel inadequate because your mother, she was a Kia. Why don't you pull into my garage and tell me how that makes you feel?
Psychology is a look at personality and cars with our very own Michelle Naranjo. This week's installment is all about morality and Hummers. The story comes from a website, MNN.com. That's the Mother Nature Network. Michelle, what are we talking about here? What is the story about?
Well, the story that Mother Nature did is actually from a journal called the Journal of Consumer Research, which is fascinating to read. They have all sorts of funny articles about how people are more likely to buy something if they touch it and so on. And they did research with 20 different Hummer owners in Southern California and found that they feel that they are moralistically superior to not just non-Hummer owners, but especially the anti-Hummer people.
Mm-hmm.
And it all relates to manifest destiny and American exceptionalism and city on a hill idea. I mean, there's all these theories. It's a 17-page scientific study about how these Hummer owners are, you know, they embody the American exceptionalism.
Weird. They think they're like defending the Wild West or something by driving a Hummer. Is that what it is? They think they're preserving American culture or something? Is that what it is?
It's funny to see some scientific research that's done around specifically the websites that are built on, like, you know, fuh2.com and then, of course, the numerous Hummer enthusiast forums, because mm-hmm. what they found is that the Hummer fans will go into fuh2 and actually have flame wars and argue, but then they'll retreat back to their own forums and unprovoked still continue this dialogue about how they're actually saving the planet because they go out and participate clearing brush, and they have an organization called HOPE, which is the Hummer Owners Prepared for Emergency. And wow. And some of the user IDs are like, you know, MC Michael Bukaki. And this isn't a scientific study. There was one guy that they quoted as saying, "Grow up and join us Americans that believe in our freedom, love our country, and don't hang around with Al-Qaeda types, idolizing Osama and flying Confederate rags, hoping slavery will come back someday."
Wow.
So,
they kind of tend to get all of this moralism confused, because as far as the Hummer owners are concerned, they're defenders of the moral freedoms that built America.
Because they bought something.
Right.
Good point, Zach.
Not just anything. It's a watered-down version of a military vehicle. That's all it is.
And it gets 9 miles per gallon. I mean, what's more American than buying imported oil by the tanker?
To them, that's part of their environmentalism, because they're supporting going out exploring, Mother Nature, which can be a bitch, but they're giving back because, you know, they claim to be environmentalist and protect.
Well, the trees need carbon dioxide. Come on. You know, that's what they're doing. They're helping nature.
That's what I'm going to tell the next guy who gives me shit for driving the Scout.
One guy actually said, the black stuff that comes out of my tailpipe is just like the burnt stuff that you scrape off your toast.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
Does burnt toast cause like lung problems?
It's actually a carcinogen.
Yeah, it is. Anything burnt like that is a carcinogen.
Well, I didn't know.
That's right.
Don't eat burnt toast.
Oh, it's my favorite. I keep a box of it by my nightstand for.
And if your Hummer is really spewing black smoke, is that good? I don't think they make diesel H2s yet.
Well, no, they run on burnt tires, don't they? They burn tires, I thought.
Actually, they run on burnt baby seals.
So. Oh, okay.
Those little white harp seals.
That's right, with the adorable blue eyes. You just go straight in the tail. Or I guess
comes with a Hummer club, so you pop them on the head.
Michael, you've been pretty quiet on this. What's your take on the morality of Hummer drivers?
He wants one.
I do.
The Raptor wasn't masculine enough, so you want an H2 now?
No, well, you know, I've done a lot of off-roading with Hummer owners, and I don't know. I think there are some of them that are a little bit strange, and but it's weird because a lot of them have that sort of cowboy mentality, and I think that's part of what the study addresses. I think very rarely a product comes along that's not only so polarizing, but is also so easy to misinterpret. You know, like, it is true that they do a lot of good in disaster zones. And there are many Hummer owners that are actually, very active in the community, like helping people out, doing all that sort of nice stuff. Mm-hmm. But then there are the other ones that don't do any of that stuff. And it's like,
it's the mother that drives it to soccer practice, right?
Basically. Exactly. Exactly. Yep. And it's, what was said before. I mean, you know, how can you really, buy something and think that it's reflecting, you know, an ideal that you believe in? Like, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah. I find it interesting, though, that the scientific study, they only sampled 20 drivers. That seems like a very small sample size to me.
I thought so as well. It seemed like a very small group of people to be, especially from such a small area and potentially from a pretty conservative area. I mean, LA does have its, what they call, the Hummer people call celebrity elites here, but then Orange County and San Diego County is full of a lot of conservative people.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's an interesting story. But did they only sample people in SoCal? Or,
mm-hmm.
So they like stood outside of Target and then just whoever walked out to a Hummer, they talked to them real quick? Is that how they got 20 people? Or
no, they actually went through these forums and contacted people and asked them if they'd be willing to participate. And they sent one guy out to interview everybody. And I think he spent up to like 4 hours with each one of them at doing an off-roading sort of thing for fun with them, mm-hmm. and interviewed them at the same time, which I would not want that guy's job. He presented himself as a European who was trying to learn more about American culture and the fascination with large SUVs.
So wait a second. So Borat interviewed these Hummer owners? Well, that's the first problem with this study.
High five.
Success.
Gypsy tears. All right, guys. I think that'll do it for the Hummer, or for, pardon me, for our first edition of Psychology. But now it's time for...
Highway Hearsay, Tales from the Open Road.
Highway Hearsay is all about what we've seen out on the road, from weird sightings to the stupid things that people do. Michael, you're submitting this week's installment, and apparently it involves a limo, some wine, and a traffic jam. Now, this is going to be a surprise to all of us because, Michael, you would not spill the details in the pre-show. So what is going on?
I don't know if it was awesome or just really awful, actually. I was driving on our QEW going into downtown Toronto.
QEW?
QEW, the Queen's Expressway.
Oh.
Because we still believe in civility here in Canada. So we're driving. I'm driving in on the QEW. It's a traffic jam. And ahead of me, there's a limousine from New York. You see people sort of in the back, whatever, like chilling out. And... I think it was like a bunch of younger people. So you see a guy's arm kind of come out the window and he starts like pumping his fist, right? And I'm like, what the hell's he doing? But there's a transport truck beside, right? So he's getting the transport truck driver to honk the horn. So the transport truck driver honks the horn and he gets a few of them to honk the horn. So like they're all happy in this limo.
And presumably trashed.
Yes. Well, here's where it gets good. So then the guy gets bored with doing that. So he starts holding out the window a bottle of red wine. And he's sort of waving that around and yelling. And then other cars are coming up to the side of this limo and are like giving him the thumbs up and like, yeah, man, like good job, like all this kind of crap. So then he puts the wine out the window and plastic cups and actually starts pouring wine for other motorists. So as we're seriously, so as we're moving down the highway, like they're motioning the limo driver to move over so that they can actually hand cups of wine over to other drivers.
Wow.
And like five or six different cars got like full glasses of red wine in this traffic jam. I mean, there was one guy who pulled up and he was really enthusiastic, like, hey, you know, and then they gave him one. He gives it to his wife that's next to him. And I'm like, okay, that's you know,
that's okay.
Awful, but, you know, it's okay, I guess. And then he gets another cup for himself. Okay. And then, so basically the slow lane of the highway was just filled with drunkards. That's my amazing highway hearsay. So if you ever see anyone from New York, well, with New York plates on their limousine, if you drive up beside them, honk wildly and start giving them the thumbs up, you may get alcohol out of it.
Okay. So are there no open container laws in Canada?
There are lots of no open container laws. Actually, we have very strict drink driving laws and that sort of thing. I think it's terrible and reprehensible, but you know, there was no cop there. And it's like, am I going to be the idiot who calls 911? And then,
oh, you guys use 911? It's not like 999 or something?
No, it's not 999. No, but, you know, am I going to be that guy who's the party pooper? And then if I call someone, who are they going to pull over, the limo? Or are they going to pull over the people that accepted the alcohol? You know what I mean? Like, it's, if there's a cop watching, that's one thing. But I don't know. It was such a weird situation that it was almost better to just sort of sit back and
enjoy
and
it.
Watch. Yeah, and then when the traffic thinned out, you know, get the hell away from those people.
It's a shame they weren't offering boxed wine, though. That would have been a lot cooler to see hanging out the window, I think. Some Franzia.
Definitely classier, I think.
Oh, absolutely. You get, it's in a bag and it's in a box. And, you know, it's like airtight. I mean, come on. It's good stuff.
Vacuum sealed. That's right.
Absolutely. Well, that is a very bizarre highway hearsay, Michael. I don't think I've ever heard a story like that before.
I'm glad you've blown your mind. Yeah.
I know. I mean, expect that in Tennessee, maybe, from you.
Hey, now. Hey, now.
Hey. Hey,
we don't drink wine down here. We drink Pabst, all right?
Or Natty Light or something.
Or moonshine.
I thought only hipsters drank
moonshine, true. Well, it's funny. Almost, yeah, it's a... all the bars love the Pabst down here. I don't understand it. I hate Pabst. I had two bad experiences that just... It's like poison. That's all I'm going to say. It's like poison.
Well, we know what to send you. We'll send you a care package with Pabst. Some PBR. Well, guys, I think that'll, you know, just about do it for this week's edition of Roundabout. I mean, we've covered all of our topics. We've had an enlightening highway hearsay from Michael. I think that'll just about do it for this week. Michael Banovsky, thanks again for joining us today. You can find your work at banovsky.com as well as vlane.com. Are you working on anything interesting this week, you know, for a change?
Never really. I wish I could say, yeah, like I'm working on this huge charity gig with, like, you know, Michael Schumacher and Bob Lutz, and we're going to be, you know, wrestling in pudding with all these Ken Block doing burnouts around the pit of pudding, but really not really. So is that just actually, I'm sorry. That was actually my dream last night.
Was it rice pudding or?
No, just go on to the next person, cause it's kind of embarrassing. So
well, I'm going to have to start
hold on
a blog.
Just a second. Speaking of Bob Lutz, you had a little, thing on Twitter with him. Did you not recently?
Well, it was not just on Twitter. Let me assure you.
Tell me more.
But no, I do. I host Car Chat every week on Wednesday night. So if you're on Twitter, you can search the hashtag Car Chat, all one word. And from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have a variety of amazing topics. Last week, we had a very special 3 to 5 p.m. time slot because we had the General Motors Vice Chairman Bob Lutz on, and he did a pretty good job. I'm sure he was typing for himself. I was assured I was assured by the General Motors employees that he was the one doing typing and stuff. But it was just really interesting to, you know, sort of see him interact with the community on social media. Like it was, I think it was a good showing from them.
Cool. I'm surprised they'd have done that. You know, let him out in the wild like that, because I would imagine he's not that. Social media savvy, you know.
Well, it's cool, funny because he did a great job, but at the end when he signed off by saying, "Well, I've got real work to do. I have to go now."
Yeah, and then of course, like, you know, I was talking to them and they were saying, you know, if he had thought that way, he wouldn't have been on the Car Chat in the first place, sort of deal. So. You know, that's one thing. Unfortunately, some people took it the wrong way. And I think one guy was like, "I feel terrible for having bought a GM product now." And I'm like, well, you know.
Oh, please.
Just,
now?
Just relax. Yeah, exactly. Zing.
Oh, my gosh. Michelle Naranjo, representing the Pacific time zone. What's happening with you? Anything exciting? Anything going on at MissMotormouth.com or Carcella.com?
Carcella is doing its iPhone little launch this week, where we have there's a new part of Carcella where you can actually go on from your phone and be on a lot and put in a VIN number, and it'll tell you within geocodes, like within your area, like if that car is a good price or not. So we're going to be pushing that out, which is kind of
That's
fun
pretty
because
cool.
it's,
yeah.
it's a new kind of tool.
Yeah, and Carcella, that focuses predominantly on used cars, right? You guys help people negotiate. Okay. Cool. What were you going to say, Ben?
I was just, you asked it for me. I was going to ask what Carcella was, explain what it was, how it worked. But yeah.
Okay.
I think it's the new way to buy used is the way they say it.
Ooh, that's clever. I like that. And Jeff Ross, thank you as always for joining us. Where can people find your stuff at?
Everyone can find my reviews and news at autotropolis.com.
You got anything in the oven? Anything interesting coming up?
Giving back the Avenger on Thursday. That's interesting Ooh. Enough.
What's your review going to be like?
That's going to be the interesting part.
How do you not get booted off Chrysler's media
exactly.
list?
Exactly.
How do you get your point across?
Somewhere there's got to be a way to write the review without looking like a complete liar, but keeping Chrysler happy.
Yeah, definitely. And, of course, we can't forget about our resident freelancer, Zach Bowman, whose scribblings are all over the internet. Zach, where can the people track you down?
The peoples can find me at autofiends.com and blog.webridestv.com.
Cool. You got anything going on?
Well, the WebRides blog will be seeing quite a few more posts within the next couple of days. So if you're looking for sort of high-end automotive news, you can stop by over there.
Cool. Sounds like a plan. And lastly now, I'd like to thank our producer, Mr. Ben Sanders, for making this live broadcast and, of course, the edited podcast possible. Ben, thanks to you as always. Remember,
pause for your welcome, and you're welcome.
Ben.
Sorry, I knew that was going to happen. So,
yes, you did. I waited the appropriate two beats, and nothing came. You got to be snappier. And I'm adding a pause to the script for next time, and making it bold and size 24.
At least 10 seconds for Ben to catch up. You're welcome.
Okay.
That is a giant pause.
I told
it's
you it's
be
size
at least
24.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Ooh, look at that guy.
All right, let me wrap this up now. Remember, visit our website, roundaboutshow.com, for more great content throughout the week. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, or criticisms, shoot us an email and we might think about responding. Maybe. Just swing by the site and click on our email button in the sidebar. Hell, if you're feeling ambitious, you can even suggest story ideas for upcoming shows. You can also follow us on Twitter. Just go to twitter.com/roundaboutshow. And if you never want to miss an action-packed episode of Roundabout, you can subscribe to our podcast. Just search for it in the iTunes Music Store or on the Zune Marketplace. Anyway, thanks to all of you out there listening. Join us again next week as we circle the roundabout. We'll talk to you then.
You just promoted the Zune Marketplace.
I heard
yeah,
that.
Take that, Michael. I'm in your
this
eye.
Is a desperate act.
Is Microsoft paying you? I need to know this.